Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The Alamo Management Committee voted unanimously this week to approve the Alamo Plaza Master Plan. Among the list of changes, the plan includes moving the Cenotaph 500 feet, closing major roads to traffic, including Alamo Plaza, Houston Street, and Crockett Street. Parade routes will also be rerouted and other changes. Now the plan is in the hands of Texas Land Commissioner George P. Bush and San Antonio Mayor Ron Nuremberg. How do you feel about the redesign for Alamo Plaza? And what about all those rough feelings that some have exhibited during this debate? How do you feel about that? Do you think we're doing a good job in talking about this? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, and you can email us at thesource@tpr.org. We're joined in the studio with Doug McDonald. He is the Alamo CEO, and Brian Preston is on the line. He's a communications director for the Texas General Land Office. Welcome both of y'all. Doug McDonald, can you kind of explain to me where we are now in the process? How big of a deal is it that this was passed unanimously by the Alamo Plaza Master Plan? Is there any kind of, by the committee, is there any sort of changes that are going to happen along the way, or is this it?
Well, after 4 years, 200 public presentations, 51 public meetings, consideration by numerous entities, including the Citizens Advisory Committee on Alamo Plaza, and their unanimous vote in support of this plan, and then the vote of the Alamo Management Committee, we're really ready to quit talking about the plan and actually start executing. So this requires the commissioner and the mayor to sign off on the plan, and it also requires the city council to approve the closing of streets. So we're ready to actually start doing something about it and no longer talking about it.
Well, Brian Preston at the GLO, I mean, is this something that you hand off to Commissioner George P. Bush and he takes a look at it and he's going to take a pencil to it, or is this a up or down?
Well, we're looking at it as an up or down vote. This design that the committee has worked on and worked with our designers on is a great design. It's great for the city, it's great for the Alamo, and it's great for the state of Texas. And so we want to urge sooner rather than later action on this. We have, as Doug said, been working on this now for 3-4 years. And we've been through numerous public meetings. Just as an example, we've led 2 road shows statewide. I've led those. And so we presented the plan in probably 25 cities around the state, in addition to numerous presentations in San Antonio. So it's really time to vote. Time is of the essence. We're on the clock for 2 reasons. We're on the clock because of the Phil Collins collection and the stipulations that came with that. And we're on the clock to get this done by 2024, which is the Alamo's 300th anniversary on its site. So as Doug said, it's I think we're past the point of just talking about it, and let's move.
So we've got this in the hands of the executive committee, which is George P. Bush and also Mayor Nuremberg, and they're going to be probably signing off on it, although it's not a rubber stamp, but they're going to be looking at it and moving it down the line. No expectations of any alterations there. But is there still a sales job to be done with the community? Because people are still kind of like some people are kind of roughed up a little bit about this. And so, I mean, how do you see the community right now on this, Doug McDonald? I mean, certain people.
Well, you know, I think there's obviously people always going to have a different point of view, but this is really about doing what the majority of people want to have done. The majority of people don't show up at public meetings every night to express their opinion. But we've done polling statewide. We've done polling in San Antonio. There's overwhelming support for this plan. We've worked carefully with organizations like the Battle Flowers Parade, the Fiesta Flambeau, the Texas Cavaliers. These groups, which were highly critical of the plan, have said, okay, you know what, this is good for San Antonio, this is good for our community. They're on board. You know, we've brought a lot of people on board through this process, and they all want to do what's right for the Alamo. They want to do what's right for San Antonio. And so we think it's time to move forward.
Well, one of the big issues, and this is not just kvetching to kvetch, people are really concerned about some of the road closures and making La Soya a more business operational street. And is that something that y'all are concerned with, or y'all are just dealing with Alamo Plaza and operating that and the overflow and the repercussions and ripple effects? Is that someone else's problem, Brian Preston?
No, that's not someone else's problem. We're certainly concerned about all that, and we're certainly listening to all of that and taking all that into account. And to that point, we have Gene Dawson working on the plans for how to handle La Soya and how to handle the traffic. And as everyone in San Antonio knows, the traffic model for San Antonio, for downtown, is in Gene Dawson's hands. He knows more about traffic in that city than probably anyone else. So we're very concerned about that. We are listening on those points. But we are also moving forward to do right by the Alamo. And as Doug said, there are super majority that support the plan and want to see the Alamo treated well. And I have to say, whenever I go around the state and talk about this plan, and whenever I am in San Antonio talking about this plan, I hear the same opinion. Everyone wants to see the Alamo treated reverently and respectfully, and that's what this plan is about.
The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. If you want to join the conversation as we talk about the Alamo plan as it moves forward, one other thing that looks like it's going to be moving forward is going to be the Cenotaph. And that seems to be the focal point that some people like the Texas Freedom Force, they call themselves, really upset about the Cenotaph being moved. I mean, is it like 100% certain that the Cenotaph can be moved without any risk to the to the monument? Is that where Doug McDonald? Can you talk about that?
You know,
because we're hearing from these folks that it can't be done.
You know, in Houston, they moved a monument that I think was 55 feet tall, moved it as one piece. Okay, so we can just go to Houston and see that they've done these things before. They're complicated. This one actually is simpler. It's built in incremental pieces. What we know is the structure inside has to get restored and replaced, so it's got to be disassembled and rebuilt and put back together regardless. You know, these sorts of structures are moved all around the country, and you can just go Google and look at these things and say, you know, large monument, historic monument movement, and you see this. So, you know, people who know what they're doing, know how to do this, we're going to hire people who know how to do it. It's just simply not a problem.
And can you kind of articulate again why the Cenotaph needs to be relocated in its current spot over to where you want to put it, which would be over in front of the Minger, other side of Alamo Plaza?
So today the Cenotaph is located in the middle of the historic Mission footprint, and that's where the battlefield was. And we really want that space to be established, to tell that story as effectively as is possible. And so when you have a structure in the center of that space that is actually taller than the church, which dwarfs every other architectural feature in its immediate vicinity, it becomes the dominant feature. And we want the feature to be the history of the defenders who were there, the people who died there. We want the history to be the people who were indigenous that area that were part of the missions. We want the history to be about the lives and all the people who lived, died, and are buried on that site. And we think that moving this to the entrance of the Alamo, as opposed to the center of it, moving it to the entrance really develops a sense of knowing for people to approach and know they're coming up to a historic site. So it creates the entrance. It's still a reverent location. It's still on the space where in the historic downtown heart of San Antonio. And we think it's a better design. It was not a design. It was open. It's better than the original design. And ironically, it's actually going to the location it was originally intended to be located.
A lot of people confuse the Cenotaph with the Alamo. They think I'm at the Alamo, and they look at the Cenotaph. I mean, that's where Ozzy Osbourne took a tinkle, was on the Cenotaph.
And he thought it was the Alamo.
He thought it was the Alamo. So, yeah, right. You know, that's another historic event that happened there. Brian Preston, do you think when people actually see the final product that the doubters and the people who are complaining, are they going to be won over?
Yes, most are. I've presented this plan to roomfuls of folks who are skeptical when I walk in the door, and by the time I walk out, their first question is usually, how can we help? The fact is, this design is great for the Alamo, and it's actually great for the Cenotaph, too, because it needs to be repaired, and as it stands right now, it's not a complete monument. And what I mean by that is there are 182 names on it, there are 189 known defenders. One of those defenders, his name was Demasio Jimenez. He was not discovered as a defender until 1986, 150 years after the battle and 40 years and change after the Cenotaph was constructed. His name needs to be added, and the other names need to be added as well. Otherwise, it's really not a complete monument. And there have been folks who have been misleading on this point, and I want to address that. So some of these folks have been saying that the cenotaph would be demolished or removed or something along those lines. That has simply never been the case. That's never been on the table. That's never been a part of this discussion. The discussions have always centered around what's best for the Alamo and what's best for the cenotaph as well.
There are people who have hurt feelings still about the Confederate monument at Travis Park, right. And that's a completely separate issue. They shouldn't be conflated. Is that your view, Brian Preston?
That is absolutely our view, that they shouldn't be conflated at all. They are separate conflicts. You have the Texas Revolution 25 years prior to the Civil War, fought over different issues. They should not be conflated at all. And Doug made the point earlier about the Houston monument that was moved. In San Antonio itself, back in 1985 or so, your city broke a world record for moving the largest structure at the time that had been moved. That was the Fairmount Hotel. It was 3.2 million pounds, far larger than the cenotaph, and they moved it much farther than the cenotaph would be moved in this design. The cenotaph will stay on Alamo Plaza even after the relocation. It's essentially going to go from northern Alamo Plaza to southern Alamo Plaza. It's a much shorter relocation.
Right. They moved the Fairmont from where it was, which is kind of where the mall is downtown, near Cesar Chavez Street. All right, we're going to take a break. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can call in with your questions and comments as we talk about the Alamo plan as it moves forward. Is this something that you've been keeping an eye on? Do you have any questions? Call in right now. It's not over yet. We still have plenty of time for public input. 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Alamo Plaza, the plan is moving forward. It's now in the hands of Land Commissioner George P. Bush and Mayor Ron Nuremberg after it was unanimously approved by the Alamo Management Committee. So the parade route is going to be changed a bit. The roads around it are going to be closed. They're going to move the cenotaph. We've got some museums popping up. We've got some old buildings we've got to figure out. Questions and comments, call in 210-614-8980. What about those old buildings, the old Woolworths building? What's going to happen with that, Brian Preston?
Well, we're still studying what's going to happen with those buildings. In fact, we've done an RFP, RFQ to that point to bring in some experts to look at first the real history of those buildings so we can verify the facts on the history of those buildings, and then second to assess their suitability for use as a world-class museum that the Alamo deserves. And Doug may be able to speak to that point better than I because he's worked at a couple of museums that have gone through transitions like this. But that's where we are on that.
All right, so Doug McDonald, Alamo CEO.
Well, I think, you know, you've got an interesting site here. You know, the Alamo and the Mission, there's one of those in the world. And while all this history is important and we're going to respect all history, you have to understand what is really the unique attribute, and there's a unique story to be told here, and so we have to balance this, and we don't want to prejudice the process. We're going to do a thorough analysis. So what you do with one of these this analysis process is you use Department of Interior standards. You look at how much historic fabric's really there, how much of the building's still intact. You know, there are no lunch counters left in the Woolworth building. Most people can't even tell you where the lunch counters are even located. They were located in the basement. We know that. But, you know, what's the history of that? People say, well, this is the first desegregated lunch counter. Well, newspaper accounts suggest maybe the Crest Department Store was actually the first desegregated lunch counter. And so what's really important here is what history museums do is we really talk about real verified facts based on evidence. And so we're going to do a thorough job. We're going to look at the real facts. We're going to look what the verified evidence really tells us, and we're going to respond accordingly.
But the building in of itself, I mean, is that looked at to be a knockdown, or you're going to try and salvage some of it?
Well, we've retained four options for the building, and we're not trying to prejudice what the process is going to be. We've got an RFQ out there that looks at, okay, how much of the real historic fabric is left in the buildings? They'll look at each of them individually. Somebody said to me, well, the Palace Theater building, you know, you should reuse the theater in the Palace Theater building. Don't tear the building down. Reuse the theater. You need a theater. And so we do need a theater in our new museum. The theater, however, was actually under where the parking garage is. So what they call the Palace Theater building was actually just, there were two entries to the Palace Theater. One came off La Soya and one came off of Alamo. And what you came to off Alamo was a long corridor that you walked through until you got to the actual theater, which is was located where the parking garage for the Hyatt is. So there's a lot of people who think that there's a lot of historic fabric there that, frankly, I think that the study will show does not exist today.
Okay, let's go to a caller, and this is Patty. And Patty, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thanks, David. Hey, listen, I used to work at the Riverwalk Vista, which is a bed and breakfast above the McDonald's facing Commerce, and so it's right in between La Jolla and Alamo Plaza. We always had so much trouble with our guests not being able to get through on La Jolla Street and to park there. Do they have plans for a parking area for the businesses that are there, or what's going on?
Patty, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. So, Doug McDonald?
Well, the city is adding a lot of parking down in the Hemisphere area and parking in the area. Obviously, there's a lot of people who want to come into this area. The other thing that will happen, it will make those intersections really work better with the plan that has been put together for La Jolla Street, is creating better crosswalk situations, because that congestion in that area is really complicated by the pedestrian crosswalk. So the pedestrians actually interfere with the traffic flow. So there's a lot of these kinds of considerations that are taking place. But most importantly, we like the fact that downtown San Antonio is a place everybody wants to come to and they want to experience. We want to make it more pedestrian friendly, so it's easier to walk between places so people can actually enjoy the city and not have to be so automobile centric.
Brian Preston, what do you think the new Alamo Plaza is going to do for the downtown San Antonio experience?
I think a good word for it is revitalize. You're going to see a place in downtown San Antonio, an area, a destination in downtown San Antonio that's going to be the envy of the state, I think. You're going to have a historic site that respects the foundational history of not just San Antonio, but Texas, right there in the middle of your city. It's going to be, as Doug said, pedestrian friendly. It's going to honor the sacrifice. It's going to honor the history of the Alamo, and it's going to be beautiful. It's currently, if you go down to the plaza, you're liable to see anything from a streaker to a street preacher yelling at you to maybe you get run over by Segways or e-scooters right there on the battlefield. This plan transforms that and will really create a destination that is no longer embarrassing in some respects, but is in fact the envy of the state and probably the country as well. I think it'll actually set a tone and a model for how cities will handle their urban spaces going forward.
Doug McDonald, I mean, walk me through. I'm a tourist. I come to San Antonio. I go to the new Alamo Plaza. How am I going to absorb the story of the Alamo?
Well, imagine you're actually on the Riverwalk. And today when you're in the Riverwalk at Commerce Street in Alamo, you actually go through a stair that you may or may not be able to find the stair that actually takes you up onto the street level. There's going to be a new stairway that comes directly off the Riverwalk, walks straight up. And when you get to the top of that stairway and you're standing at Commerce Street on Alamo, Alamo is now a pedestrian corridor in front of you. So you actually go across a wide pedestrian crosswalk that people can walk through from any direction, so it's easy to go across this. You're going to start walking down Alamo Street to the north. And as you're walking to the north, instead of having streets and traffic and noise around you, you're going to have nice shops and new venues. You're going to have places you can sit along the sides of the street. We envision restaurants and that sort. And as you get further down the street and you get to where you're coming up and coming close to where the City Center Mall is, you're going to look over to the right, and you're actually going to see this wonderfully illuminated cenotaph that is actually in a space that is designed for it. And if you want to, and you want to think about the cenotaph, and you want to think about the history that represents, you say, I might go sit on these benches that are sitting around the cenotaph, that I can actually sit on benches and look at the cenotaph, versus today you sit on a wall and look away from the cenotaph. So you might go over and sit down for a little while and sit there on the benches and look at the cenotaph, look at the new exhibits around it, that talk about the defenders. And then as you're sitting there and you say, well, you know what, I think I'm going to go on down, it's evening time. So Alamo Plaza is still open just like it is today. You can say, I'm going to wander on down, I'm going to walk past the Alamo, I'm going to take my prerequisite selfie, and I'm going to enjoy the space. But it's going to be a space that is managed, and it's managed so it's safe and it's comfortable and it's environment, and a space where you can reflect. If you want to get past reflection, you can still go back into Alamo Plaza that's expanded. expanded. You can find restaurants, you can find shops, you can find the sorts of things that make for a vibrant urban center. But it's going to be transformational. I think it's probably the largest museum project in America today, and it's a unique historic place in San Antonio. And it's going to be thrilling to get it accomplished. We need the mayor and city council to act on this as quickly as possible. We've got a list of design architects from around the world who actually want to design the new museum building. So let's do something amazing. Let's get this in front of city council. Let's get it there now. Let's vote it forward so we can actually start building a museum instead of talking about it.
But right now, when people go to visit the Alamo Tourist, they kind of walk away with a wrong impression of what actually was going on with the battle. They think of the chapel building, the iconic building, as like they were defending this building here. Actually, the walls of the Alamo were much further out where businesses are today. And so the new Alamo, people are going to understand, oh, well, this is probably where the defenders were. Are you going to get that impression?
You're going to get that because we're going to delineate the site as much as possible, all the way to the north wall. We're going to lower the site and put a kind of a perimeter definition around that so people will understand. We're going to activate the site by recreating some of the historic elements from Mission Period homes to the 18-pound cannon installation on the southwest corner. So you're going to see this whole myriad history. You're going to understand that there are thousands of people actually buried on this site from their Catholic cemeteries. You're gonna come to this and go, this is a really remarkable, important, historic place in the middle of our city. And you're going to honor and respect that entire history. And you're going to learn a lot about who we are and where we came from.
Okay. And so, Brian Preston, can you add to that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think as a fifth-generation Texan and a veteran, I really can't wait to see this because we will experience the Alamo for the first time, really. I mean, we've all been going to the Alamo forever. The first time I went, I was 6 or 7 years old. We have all been going to the Alamo our entire lives, especially those who live in San Antonio, but we'll really experience it for the first time. One of the tragedies that I see when I'm down there is that you can walk around the battlefield, but no one knows they're actually walking on the battlefield, because to your point, David, the walls from 1836 and before are gone. This plan actually brings them back through this delineation that Doug talked about and through an exhibit on Crockett's Palisade, for instance. We'll know where he was standing during the fighting, the 18-pounder position. I really can't wait to see this because this is Texas and San Antonio coming together to honor our history and really bring it to life for the first time in living memory. It's going to be incredible.
So where are we in the process, Doug McDonald?
So the process is now is the mayor and the commissioner, they have to sign off on the plan. But the important thing to have happen is we're scheduled to go in front of the HDRC, Historic Design Review Committee, in front of the Plan Commission, and be in front of City Council. And we think we can be that we can all be through all these hoops. We can be in front of City Council by the 18th of October, and we really think it's important that happen in October so we can move on with selecting an architect.
All right, Doug McDonald, Alamo CEO, thanks for coming up into the studio today to help us understand this. Brian Preston, Communications Director for the Texas General Land Office, and we will be following events as they develop and see what happens at City Council with the new Alamo Master Plan as it moves forward. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you so much for tuning us in.